with the help of the Lord for our morning meditation, desire to read a portion of Scripture from the Gospel of St. John, chapter number 12. St. John, chapter 12.
Bratje naše, da se čita uz Božju pomoć iz Svetog Evanđelja po Jovanu, 12. glava. Sveto Evanđelje po Jovanu, 12. glava.
It's rather a lengthy chapter, but I'd like to begin reading with verse number 12. Starting with verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then there came a voice from heaven, saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spake to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. And the people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. Desire to end here at verse 36. May God bless the reading of this word. Brothers and sisters and friends, all who have come to the hearing of God's word in this morning hour, the The word that we have before us in this chapter in the Gospel of St. John is an account of a portion of our Lord and Savior's life in the last week before his crucifixion. And up until this time, he spent approximately 3 years ministering to the people, sharing the gospel of light of himself, of Jesus Christ, to all men, to all who would hear. His disciples followed him and walked with him, were taught many things. He faced much opposition from the various rulers and leaders of the synagogues and of the Jews. And everything was culminating to this point of the end where he knew that his time on this earth would be over and that the work that he came to do, commissioned by his Father, would need to be completed. And as he came into Jerusalem, as we read, and we know the account, as we have read it most likely many times, or in Sunday school, the lessons we would have learned, they found a donkey and her colt, just as was prophesied. I believe it was in the book of Isaiah where it was prophesied that he would come into the city for his triumphal entry as King of Kings, the King of Israel. And there were many people gathered there. There was a multitude. There was a host that was watching him at that time. And there were those that wanted to see him. And as he rode in, they cast their garments on the colt, they cast garments on the road, the palm leaves, as he came into the city gates. And they cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." No doubt many of these people probably heard many things. Maybe even experienced some of the, or were involved in the places where Christ did many of the miracles or the events that took place, and they saw him, they wanted to see him again. Or maybe there were those that heard and they wanted to come to see who is this man. We read in verse 18, "For this cause the people also met him, for they heard that he had done this miracle," referencing the verse before about raising Lazarus from the dead. One of the great miracles that he did just before, possibly weeks or so before, I don't know the exact timeline, but very shortly before this time. And there were those that wanted to see him and experience his presence because of the great thing, the great miracle that he did with even raising Lazarus. And there were those that searched after him. We read in verse 20 that the Greeks came also to worship at the feast. And they would go and they talked to one of the disciples and then to the other because they wanted to see Jesus. The Pharisees were also there. They maybe had a different motive. They wanted to see him, but they were also in the back of their minds trying to devise a plan to do away with this man. So that there were many that were looking for him and searching for him. And as Jesus came in, and no doubt there were those that were there, he took time in this passage in verse 23, where he wanted to explain to them, maybe for the last time, maybe the last time that he would vocalize it to them, of his purpose. He said, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." This was the time where he would be glorified as the Son of Man, the Son of God. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." He was speaking about himself. He was speaking that because in some of the verses after, he was troubled, he was stressed, he was under pressure. He even asked the rhetorical question, "Father, shall I?" Or he said, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." But and then he answered. Obviously, he said, "But for this cause came I unto this hour." This was the purpose that he came. So that corn of wheat, that seed would fall into the ground, that it would not just stay as a seed, and it would not just remain, because as Christ said, that if it just remained as a seed, there would be no purpose and no use for it. But if it fall into the ground and die, then it would bring forth much fruit. And we see, dear loved ones, that the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his atoning work on the cross brought forth much fruit. The fruit of regeneration, because as we know, when a seed falls into the ground and then it germinates and it brings forth life, it brings forth life abundantly. This seed that the Lord Jesus was talking about is the same seed that the Apostle Peter wrote about in his first epistle, I believe it is, where he says in the first chapter, verse 23, where the Apostle Peter is speaking about to the believers, saying that we, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That seed which lasts, that seed, when it is sown into the hearts of men, even though at times it may not germinate immediately, it may not come to fruition immediately, but that seed which will never die, and if it finds the right environment, and if it finds the right heart, and if it finds the right conditions in one life, it will bring forth much fruit. And so Jesus explained and wanted to explain to them that he had to die. He had to leave his disciples. But and then, after that time, he would then also be lifted up and raised up to bring forth that fruit unto the glory of God the Father. And that is the parallel, loved ones, of what the Lord can do in our lives. What the Lord, brother and sister, has done in our lives, where if we would also, in our life, die to the things of this world, and even as the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Romans, where he says that in chapter number 6, that he says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." And this is what the Lord requires of us to be able to experience that regeneration. To die so that we could also then, to die in his likeness to our life so that we could be regenerated, be resurrected to new life, a new heart, a new mind, and then also live with him. And this, loved ones, was what he was explaining to those that were around him. Because there were many that were there. And there were many that were watching. And many that hailed Hosanna. But and then in the next verse, he also did say something else. He said, "He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." There were those that were watching and with him. And there were those that were following him from the city gates, most likely into the city. But Jesus wanted to clarify to them that if you truly want to serve me, if you truly want to be with me and be one of mine, let him follow me. This word follow derives from a word where it means to be on the same road, united on the way. So just as Jesus explained to them that in this next week, in this time, he would have to die. And he would have to suffer. For those that truly want to follow him, they also need to die to self and to be changed. To serve God and to be his disciple is not just a passing thought. To be Christ's servant and to be his child is not something that we just accept in our heart and easily believe and then carry about our regular way. The way of Jesus was to go to the cross. The way of Jesus was to go to the cross and die and shed his blood for us. And so it is, loved ones, that we also, in our lives, need to die. Dear friend, outside of Jesus Christ, are you as one of these that were standing by the way? Watching the Savior, as one of these ones that were watching the Savior as he walked into Jerusalem. And possibly you have come to the hearing of God's word, week after week, message after message, seeing the glory of the Father work in the lives of those around you, maybe of your peers, the miracles and the great things that he has done in the lives of your parents and of your family. But all you are doing is being a bystander of what has actually happened. And you want to serve the Lord. And you have the desire to walk with him, the desire to be his child. You need to follow him, to walk on the same road as our Lord. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. This world has many things to offer, many things to attract our attention, many things to draw our love towards it. But the Lord is asking us, and His Word is asking us, to leave those things aside, to hate this life. And to love the Lord in His way. And if one would take those first steps to follow Him in faith, that step in faith to walk towards Him, to follow Him, and would bring their love and their attention to the Lord and to His Word and to His teaching, that love in your heart for the Lord will grow, just as that incorruptible seed, which will germinate and bring forth much fruit. And brothers and sisters, we have also experienced God's love. We have experienced this road that the Lord has placed us on. And there are times, loved ones, where we need to suffer. There are times, loved ones, where we struggle. There are times when temptation and things bombard us, where life can be difficult, just and we feel stressed and we feel the pressure, just as our Lord did. But we need to come back to the purpose as to why the Lord has placed us here, and the purpose to serve Him and to honor Him and to love Him with all of our hearts, to walk with Him in truth and in mercy. And then there was question. That as Christ was speaking to them and telling them that He had to die, and that He would leave this world, and that He would resurrect, there was question, and some of them asked, that in the law, the people answered Him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" And then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of the light." God's Word, His truth, is a light, a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our path, as the psalmist states. And Jesus was explaining to them and speaking to them that you have the light with you right now. Walk while you have the light. Because there will come a time when that light will be taken away. There will come a time when there will be darkness. There will be a time when you will not see clearly anymore. And so that call goes out also today. That message to walk in the light while you have the light. For we know that this world is becoming a much more darker and darker place, where truth is now, in the world's eyes, relative. Those things which were black are now becoming white. And those things that were white are now becoming black. And where there are so many now shades of gray, where things are so dark and so unclear, where their confusion is running rampant in this world. Even as the Apostle Paul exhorted Timothy, he told Timothy and he charged him to teach in the early church, even at that time, where he said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." Where there were those that were not speaking the truth, not living the truth, not teaching the truth. And those that were hearing were getting confused. They were uncertain what light was. They were uncertain what darkness is. And we see that in this world today. Now is the time, dear ones, dear friends, to come to the light. There may be a time, loved ones, where you may desire with your heart to come to church. You may desire to come among the fellowship of the saints, of the believers, and the truth may not be that true light which the Word speaks of. Or you may seek to find that truth, and for whatever reason, the truth will not be found. There may come a time in this world where the doors will be closed. And we experienced that a few years ago for various other reasons, that doors were closed and there was a hunger for the truth, and there were those that could not come to the hearing of the truth. But in time to come, it may be more severe. Or there may come a time where this exact word, this Bible that we read and we hold so precious, one that sits on your bedside possibly collecting dust, it may be considered as hate crime because of the way that this world is going. And one will not be able to find the light. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of the light. And when you come to the light, out of the darkness of your life, out of the darkness of the guilt and the sin that you are burdened with, and when the light shines upon your heart, and when you see your heart and yourself as the Lord sees you, you come to the realization that you're undone. And that's when that seed in your heart can grow to truth, to repentance, to change, and to walk in His way. Not as these who just followed him. I sometimes wonder, all those that hailed Hosanna, all those that cried out to him as he came in to the city. I sometimes wonder how many of them truly desired to follow and to walk on the same road as our Lord. But instead, in the week later, how many of those were the ones that were caught up with the crowd, caught up with their peers, and with those that were around them, and cried, "Crucify him." Let the light of God's word shine into your heart. Expose your heart to the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we also need to expose our hearts to His Word. We need to take His word seriously. We need to read His word, be in His word, because the times are coming where we will be challenged, where we will experience difficulty, where we will experience times where the only comfort and the only strength and grace that we will receive and have is through reading His word. And if we don't take time to expose ourselves to that light now, how will we be able to shine that true light when this world is so dark? Let us look into our lives, brothers, sisters, and friends, that we would consider His word in our hearts. And that we would not be, as we didn't read later on in the chapter, where it says that there were those, after He spoke, there were those that believed, and there were many that didn't believe, but yet there were also those that believed. And I find it very interesting where it says in verse 42 of the chapter we read, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on Him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Dear friend, maybe that's what might be holding you back. Maybe you love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Maybe you're more concerned about what your friends will say, what your peers will say. Or that you will feel that you will miss out on something if you do not come to that true light. But open your heart, open your mind. Let God's word and His light shine into your heart, to each and every one of us, so that we could be exposed to the Lord, and so that seed would receive that light and bring forth more fruit in our lives. May God bless His word to our hearts in this morning hour. Amen.
Allow me, with the Lord's help, to add a few words in conclusion. My friend outside of Jesus Christ, do you struggle with faith? My sister, my brother, do you struggle with faith? I do. And that is because we see imperfectly now. We live and we walk by faith. Wouldn't it be so nice if the Lord would remove all uncertainty, show us clearly, answer every question we have? But if He did that, He would remove from us that precious gift that was given to our first parents in the garden, the freedom to love and the freedom to choose. The two are together. Faith is a choice. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify Thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. And others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Even our Lord had to choose. His flesh desired to be saved from the cross. He prayed in the garden, Lord, take this cup from me. But then he chose to say, "Nevertheless, let thy will be done." And so doing glorified the Father, and the Father was glorified. He tells us that. But for those that choose not to believe, if you choose not to believe, to you it'll only be thunder. You won't hear God talking to you. Choose. If God was to show up in all his power and glory, your choice would be removed. You will fall down face first onto the ground. When God finally shows up in that last and horrible day, they will say, "Save us from the wrath of the Lamb." But it will be too late. Because now is the time of grace. And faith and grace are tied together. Whosoever will, let him come. You see, the gifts of God are given without repentance. When he gave our parents choice in the garden to love or not to love him by obeying him, that option was given. And so it's given to us today. What we do with it is so critical. Choose to believe. May God bless what we've heard this morning. And let each one choose day by day, step by step, as our Lord showed us, through faith, to glorify God, and God will be glorified. And ultimately, this will all be vindicated. One day, this will all be peeled back. And we will see exactly what the Lord had in mind, how he planned these things, and the things that look like mistakes to us, the things that look like unnecessary pain, unfairness, will one day all be undone in the light of his glorious presence. May God bless us and dismiss us also with his blessing. Amen.